Cuckoo!
Welcome to Europhile. I'm Kate Walker.
And I'm Catherine Rory.
Hi, Kat.
Hi. Oh my God, it's been forever,
It's been forever. I know. Yeah. getting back into the swing of things.
Yes.
Getting back into routines, into January.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
All of that good stuff. I mean,
I'm a routine girly. I am.
I mean, I'm more just like, January is the worst.
It's really true, is. Yeah, because all of the fun of winter is now past and behind us, and now it's just bleak. Now January. It's like true, like hibernation time.
Yeah,
I think. I know. Like January, especially. It's true. Me too.
Yeah.
I just want to be
it's
cozy.
Time for movies.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Oh,
wait,
movies.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we both saw the two freaky fun movies
yes.
that everyone's talking about, Saltburn
and
Poor Things.
Yes.
I mean, okay, so what is there to say that
it's
has
been
not been
so
said?
Fun, though, to like my entire TikTok feed is Saltburn still. And it's been like over a month.
I want to
see
it again.
I want to watch it, too, because I haven't seen it since theaters, like when it first came out. So it's been like a month and a half. And it's all over my
feed.
Oh,
yeah, you went to the screening in LA. I forgot
about
that.
Yeah, it was so fun. But yeah, it's been like a month and a half, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to watch again. Mm-hmm. And like, you see all like the little things that like, you know, the film freaks are pointing out on TikTok, and I love them for it. And so I'm like,
yeah,
oh my God,
too.
Okay, I want to rewatch.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you excited about movies again, I feel like, when you hear someone smarter than you dissect a movie.
Yes,
you
yeah.
know?
And then I regurtate that to my friends when talking about the movie.
Like, I am very smart. I heard this on TikTok.
That is like 99% of the things that I talk about. Like, well, did you know?
I read this article. Just kidding. I loved Poor Things so much.
Yes. Okay. I was just going to ask your thoughts. Yeah, I agree.
You just saw it last night, but
yes, I did.
I saw it, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago. I came out being like, I just love freaky movies.
Love. Thank you. Just feast for the eyes.
I know. I don't think it's a feminist take at all. I just think it's a good movie.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't say I loved it like you did.
Oh,
but like,
I loved it. Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know if I feel the need to see it again.
I would
maybe
see it again.
If someone hadn't seen it, and I'd be like, oh, sure, let's watch it, I guess.
Yeah.
But the acting, top notch. The costumes, the sets. I was like, I thought it was going to be black and white the whole time. And I was like, I need to see these sets in color. I was pissed. And then it started being in color. And I was like, oh, yeah, good. Okay.
Yeah. All of the sets, like in Europe, when they went to Lisbon and Paris and Greece.
So fun. So imaginative.
The ship. I was like, I'm going to look up where the ship is. And then they showed an exterior shot of it. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, it's fake. Literally
it
looks like a spaceship.
Or like her room that was like padded, like satin walls that were like embroidered with, you know, country scenes. I was like, I want that. I want that.
So pretty.
Want that. It's supposed to be probably like, you know, hospital padded wall kind of protecting her because who knows what she could do. But it was so beautiful. I was like, I want that.
I know. Yeah. Very pretty. I loved the costume design and everything else.
So pretty. And like everything was sheer. So very now of her.
So very now. Okay. Speaking of, God. Okay. So I'll just get into it. I have the main topic this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also going to be talking about like a hard subject. It's this is such a trigger warning. Like, it's very heavy, this subject. So we're going to go to Ireland and we're going to talk about Magdalen Laundries. Have you heard of the Magdalen Laundries at all?
Yes, but I know that it's something terribly sad that happened, but I feel like I have glanced over it because I'm like, I haven't been ready to like dive in myself. So I'm glad that you're doing this. You did it for me.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's just sick, honestly. Okay, so let's get into it.
Okay.
So have you ever wondered why Sinead O'Connor tore up the picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live?
Yes. Wow.
Okay, so she did it because of this. I mean, it wasn't the only reason why, but basically O'Connor described that just when she was 14, she was sent to a charity laundry in Dublin because she was named as like a problem child. Okay. She was caught stealing. And her dad apparently was like, all right, well, we need rehabilitation. He's obviously, I don't think he's a bad person. I don't think any of these people who sent their family members are necessarily bad, but they were not put in healthy, safe, or loving circumstances. Okay. And so there was no rehabilitation there. There was no therapy. There was just abuse, let's say. Okay. So let's talk about what the laundries are. So,
thank you. Yeah.
So from the foundation of the Irish Free State in 1922 until 1996, there were recorded 10,000 girls and women that were basically imprisoned and forced to carry out unpaid labor and were just subjected to this like psychological and physical abuse in Ireland's Magdalen in like laundry institutions. Okay. And those laundry institutions ran for-profit businesses based on their labor. Yes.
Okay. Sick.
Yes. You know what? That's called slavery. Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know that nuns can be scary. You watch old movies and like my parents both went to Catholic schools and they would have stories about, you know, the nuns hitting them with rulers and
snake bites. My mom got a snake bite from a nun. Yes. For talking too much.
Fuck that bitch.
I know.
You're a nun? I'm sorry. This makes me so sick. I won't dig too deep into like how much I hate these people, but just know.
Yes.
They're looking up. Okay. They're looking up right now.
They're looking up at us. Okay.
This Magdalen laundry system dates back to the mid 1800s. So before Ireland was even a free nation from England. Ireland's first asylum opened up in Dublin in 1765. It had good, intense, maybe
rehabilitation or something.
Yeah, it was sort of like to prevent women going into sex work.
Oh.
We obviously know that there is so much stigma around sex in the Catholic Church. And so, you know, this asylum sheltered unwed mothers or just women who had had sex. They weren't married. And the only way they thought for them to not go into sex work was to go into these like workhouses, basically.
Okay.
The idea was that these women would stay in the asylum for like a short time so they could be, you know, rehabilitated. They would go by choice, most of them. So a lot of the times these religious orders could not produce records. Like they were not good at record keeping. Mm-hmm. So basically they were, there was kind of like questions of what was going on because there was institutions in Galway and Dunleary and they were not accounted for before 1922. But so they were sort of considered these like legacy cases, but they weren't recorded in the Magdalen laundries. So they were recorded in the asylums. They were never recorded in the laundries, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So it's like you're like grandfathered into abuse.
Yeah.
It's just very, and so they were never, so like the 10,000 didn't account for any of these ladies or children.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. How does one get into these laundries? So we know the asylum obviously was, you know, had good intentions, maybe. So for the laundries, you could go or enter them through a variety of channels. So you're basically sent through by either the judicial system. So you would, you know, it'd kind of be like probation.
Okay.
You'd get sent like if you stole something or after a prison release or, you know, reform school, you could get transferred from industrial schools. You could get transferred from mother and baby homes, which I'll talk about that, which you kind of know what that means. You know, you probably had a child.
Yeah.
Not wed and they were transferred over to the laundries. And there's also evidence that these girls were sent by social workers, clergy, the Gardaí, which is the police, hospitals, and psychiatric hospitals. But the most evil of it all was the women and children that were sent there because they were victims of abuse.
Okay. Oh, come on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were sent by their families or church groups to these places. Mm-hmm. And it was obviously to save face because they didn't want scandal because of either, you know, unmarried motherhood, illegitimacy, sexual abuse, incest, domestic abuse. Domestic abuse.
No, no.
Disability and mental illness. Mental illness mm-hmm. and disabilities. Mm-hmm. That makes me want to throw up. I hate that so much.
Makes me sick.
And it was not a requirement that the state of Ireland puts people in these places. It wasn't like a prison encampment or something. It was just like they would, you know, funnel people mm-hmm. into these institutions. So it wasn't like a prison sentence or something. It was just like you were put there either voluntarily or through, you know, one of the organizations I had mentioned. So how it works was obviously, like I said, for profit. Government agencies are using this, public hospitals, local businesses would send their laundry and like needlework to these laundries.
Okay. I was wondering where laundry was coming in. I was like, is this literal laundry?
So it is a real business. Yes.
Okay.
Obviously using slave labor, but you know, they did have an actual laundry. Conditions in these institutions, they were just basically imprisoned behind locked doors. They had unreachable windows, if any, high walls around the grounds, and they would put, you know, broken glass on top so people couldn't leave. And upon entry, many of the women's names were changed and they were given identification numbers or like holy names. Okay. So like, it's this process that we're all seeing, this dehumanization that they would do,
mm-hmm.
taking away any semblance of humanity, any semblance of dignity that these women mm-hmm. had. And their hair was shorn, so mm-hmm. shaved off.
Yeah.
The children were taken away if they had babies.
Mm-hmm.
Their clothes were taken away. They were given, you know, just like a uniform. And they had a rule of silence, so they couldn't talk to each other. Yeah.
Jeez, I'm chills.
I know. And correspondence with the outside was intercepted or it was monitored by the nuns. You know, sometimes obviously like women did try to escape or the kids would try to escape, you know, maybe in the back of like a laundry van or, mm-hmm. you know, a door at the delivery or collection time, or they would try scaling the wall. They were often captured and, you know, returned by the police. Mm-hmm. How are you voluntarily put in here and then returned by the police?
It is a prison.
Interesting. It's estimated that up to 300,000 women passed through Ireland's Magdalen mm-hmm. laundries between 1765 and 1996. But only records show, like I said, 10,000 women.
What a joke.
300,000.
Yeah.
Compared to 10,000. And obviously, there were so many inaccurate records as to why the girls were put in these laundries, just records of neglect, just mm-hmm. records of, like, death records were inaccurate.
Right.
Things like that. The crazy part about this, I mean, it's all crazy, but is that the commercial laundry premises was, like, subjected to the Factories Act. So they would be, like, supervised and, like, the machinery and the factory premises only. They more cared about the business of it rather than the, you know,
individuals.
Like, individuals, yeah. So they didn't look at the conditions that they were working under and, like, forced to live under.
Yeah.
But they just observed the machinery and the factory. Yeah.
Please.
So, like, obviously, there are always whispers, right? In Galway, in Dublin, people are, like, kind of aware that women go missing mm-hmm. or they are gone for 2 years and they're like, where did she go?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, and she looks horrible. And, like, they would come back emaciated or, you know, whatever. So finally, in 1992, the Sisters of Our Lady of Charity decided to sell some of its land, and they applied to have 133 bodies moved from unmarked graves on the property, but 155 remains were found.
Okay.
Now they're like, what the fuck?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Here we go.
This is familiar now. This is getting familiar.
This is what started it.
When it all came down.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So journalists learned that only 75 death certificates had existed. And so they were like, what the fuck? Like, you're applying to move 155 people or remains, I should say, and 75 death certificates exist.
Who Seems are these weird. People? Where are your Why? Records? Are they children? So, probably. I'm imagining the worst of the worst.
Yeah. So then the nuns are like, ooh, this is an error. This is an administrative error. And cremated all of the remains and reburied them in another mass grave. So then they're like, no, fuck no.
Yeah.
Like, we are going to investigate this now. So now is when the government gets involved here.
About time.
The UN also decided to investigate these Magdalene laundries for violating human rights. So I will say that we have heard, even as Americans, Canadians, like, we have heard of sort of like these reform schools that, you know, kids or Indigenous people would be sent to. So this is not like a new thing. Like, even Protestant church groups also had sort of like workhouses like this. So this is not like exclusive to the Catholic Church or Ireland in any way, shape, or form. But the UN concluded that these victims were deprived of their identity, of education, food, medicine, were imposed an obligation of silence, and prohibited from having any contact with the outside world. So one of the most notorious homes was called the Bon Secours Mother and Baby Home in Galway. And in 2014, the remains of about 800 babies were found in an unused septic tank in the home's yard. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
It's really sick and horrifying. Yeah.
Rot in hell.
Yeah. They're really looking up.
People. Yes.
They're looking up at us. Yeah. This is not the first time that there was an investigation by the government, but they didn't do anything about it until, you know, the 90s or whatever. So in 1944, they had evidence that 270 children living at that orphanage, alongside with 60 mothers, were being maltreated.
Yeah.
And these death records cited sicknesses, diseases, all things that could have been prevented had they had care.
Yeah.
Or even just like, I'm premature births and obviously like birth defects and things like that. But there were the majority of things that could have been prevented. Yeah. Like with the following deaths that occurred.
Had they done something about it then, decades of women and children would have been protected. I know, but until the 90s.
I'm saying that was in 1944.
Exactly. Like, what are you doing?
And we know the Catholic Church, you know, has been complicit in a lot of horrible things, right? And I see why Sinead O'Connor ripped up that picture.
Yeah.
Because of these things. So the Catholic Church has still remained silent on this. The Irish government did release a report and acknowledged extensive government involvement in, you know, the laundries. And in 2013, Ireland's president apologized to the Magdalene women, and they did have a compensation fund. So they did get money.
Good.
And after investigations into the laundry revealed that about a quarter of the women were in fact sent there by the Irish state. So they were, like, even though they had said that they weren't, they were imprisoned there, basically. And the Irish government agreed to pay 58 million euros, which is about $75 million to the survivors. And obviously, these effects are still felt upon these women today.
Yeah.
Because these women were subjected to giving up their children in the 90s.
Yeah.
Still.
And like that, you can't put a price on that, that trauma.
And a lot of the children, they were found to have gone through foreign adoptions. So there are kids here, well, adults here now in the U.S. that were from these laundries.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're finding everything out because of, you know, 23andMe, and they're getting reunited with their families. But
oh my God.
It's like it affects people in the, I mean, obviously around the world, but Yeah. It's like child trafficking.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like taking away someone's child like that. Like, yeah. That is the story of the Irish Magdalene laundries.
Wow.
Very
I mean,
hard.
What can you say? What can I
what
say?
can you say? I know.
Like,
there's nothing to say.
The fact that the Catholic Church has not uttered a peep about this.
I know.
Wow.
No wonder
Fuck
she
off.
Ripped up that picture.
Yeah. An RIP,
yeah.
Sinead.
I know.
Wow.
But
Thank you for covering that. That was
there's a Joni Mitchell song about it. Sinead O'Connor actually released a song. It was released posthumously, but she did give, because it's featured in this series called Women in the Wall, which is a BBC series, and it's about the Magdalene laundries.
Okay.
And it just came out, I think, and it's with Ruth Wilson.
Okay. I'm not sure if I know who that
she's
is.
She's from The Affair. She's in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, that was very heavy, but thank you for covering that. You did a great job.
Thank you. I was going to do this for my recommendations, but obviously The Woman in the Wall I just mentioned, and then the film Philomena
Oh,
with Judi
yes.
Dench.
Yes.
That's
I never
about
saw
that.
it. Oh my God. I had no idea. Oh,
There's so
okay.
much, so many other things. There's a lot of documentaries. I watched this documentary on YouTube. Actually, it's kind of like, it's very low budge, but
Okay.
like, he goes in, around and talks to the ladies, and you're just like, Jesus.
Just sick.
Yeah. How could this happen? How could your, you know, Irish mammies and pappies like think that this, it's because they thought that that was the only way.
That's what you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you would trust the church to to take care of you and your loved or of your loved ones. Yeah. And to help them. Or like, you know, good, honest work, a little good, honest work will set them right. Like, please.
Yeah.
Well,
Okay,
shall we get into my mini
lift it up.
topic that is just silly, silly and
Okay,
fun.
Good. Thank God.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher some words. I tried to look at pronunciations.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about a ghost today. Ooh, but it's fun.
Okay.
No one is gonna be scared. So I was just like, what are some like famous ghosts in Ireland?
Okay.
So we are going to go to County Clare and the ruins of Lemine. I know I'm so butchering it. I couldn't find it.
Okay.
So a castle, and it is haunted by the ghost of Red Mary, who was also looking up at us for sure. So she was feisty, evil, we could say. So Red Mary McMahon was born in 1615 to a wealthy family.
Okay.
And she marries Daniel O'Neillan in County Clare, and then he passes away. And she inherits his lands and a dowry of £1,000. Which obviously in 1600s is a substantial amount of money. So now she's loaded. But like you can't have, like you essentially need to be married in order to like maintain and like keep your land and like your money kind of thing.
Yeah,
Like,
of course.
I don't know the politics exactly, but she was like, I need to find another husband.
Okay.
So she gets married again to Connor O'Brien and they pack up and move to, again, this castle name I'm butchering, Lemine Castle.
Okay.
They, Mary and her husband, were known opponents of Cromwellian rule, which was happening at the time.
Oh, they hated
the
English
rule.
Okay.
Yes. And they would ride out on their lands and like in the countryside and like attack English settlers. So like very brutal people, which is like kind of fun.
Okay.
Her husband was wounded very badly in battle and was taken back to the castle. And she tried to nurse him back to health, but he died. And now she knew that she would have to forfeit her lands probably to the British, like knowing that they would just come and like, oh, you're not married. Like, what say do you have? This is ours now. So she goes to an English camp in Limerick and she's like, hey, Cromwell's officers, like one of you marry me so that I can maintain my wealth and power. A man named John Cooper was the lucky or unlucky person who stood
volunteered
up to the task.
For the job.
So that, yep, they got married and he did like get all of her wealth and land. And like she was able to retain her family home and power. So
you got to do what you got to do.
There's rumors and then there's history books. Obviously, the rumors are more fun.
I like the rumors. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in, you know, history says they lived to a long age, the both of them, and they had like 12 children.
Mm-hmm.
Another more fun
That's
rumor.
The most shocking part about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Rumor is that she overheard him talking shit about her second husband and she kicked him in the stomach and he died. So another rumor is that he fell, quote unquote, from a third floor window.
Okay.
So
regardless, I mean, her legs gone. From horse riding probably strong enough to be doing that.
Totally. Yeah. Kicked him in the right spot. Gone. Gone.
Ulcer. Gone.
And then more rumors are that she had 25 husbands over her lifetime. She would marry them for a year and a day and then would divorce them, or they would somehow come to a tragic end.
Okay.
So she was also known for sending her enemies over the cliffs of Moher on horseback. So like they would just like plummet to their death in the sea.
That's a scary way to go. That is a scary way. I walked down the path and I was scared.
Really? Yeah. I'd be afraid to just get blown over if I was too close. Yeah. I would love to go there someday. Yeah. I don't know how she would convince them, but like, she'd be like, go that way, charge on your horse. Yeah. Deadhead. It would just
don't stop.
Yeah. She would also.
Nyland, you're going to go off somewhere.
Yeah. Bloop, gone. She, was also known to hang servants that displeased her. So she would hang men by their necks and women by their hair, allegedly.
Okay.
She would meet her eventual demise when her enemies, I don't know the logistics of this, they buried her alive in a hollowed out tree. So I don't know.
Wait.
Like,
that's so horrifying.
Isn't that? So either she was like buried alive or they like sealed her in and she starved to death and couldn't get out of the tree. Don't know how that's really possible.
That's
crazy.
Kind of,
you drop her from the top, maybe? I don't know.
I feel like this happened. Like, wasn't there this like unsolved mystery of a person who got put into a tree and they thought he was a German spy or
totally.
Something?
Totally. I know exactly what you're talking about. In England. It was
I forget
England,
what it
I
was
think.
Called.
I think it might have been, they suspected it to be a woman based on the skeleton. I don't know. This is very, that's like locked in my brain somewhere.
Yeah,
we'll,
I don't remember.
We'll have to look that up for a future app. So apparently in the castle, on the grounds, you eventually see her and her red hair haunting the castle. Mm-hmm. And you can hear screams of men and women who met their fate due to her wickedness.
Okay.
And that's the story of the ghost of Red Mary.
Oh my God. That's
like
that's a good
lore,
one.
Rumors. It's just fun. Yeah.
I like that one. That's it's fun because it's old.
Yes, exactly.
And the like, horrors do not persist.
And like how real is any of it? You know?
I love the thing is you know this about me. I hate ghosts. I don't want to think about it. Mm-mm. I don't want to watch anything.
No,
but I do want to hear
no.
I do want to hear a ghost story about a place that I probably will never go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
exactly.
I'll doesn't affect
it's fun.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. No, so, she's over there. She is way over there.
I won't go there. Nothing's going to attach to me. Nothing. I love it.
Do you have a recommendation for me?
Well, I said mine already,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yes, you did. Yeah. Okay. And you said that's on YouTube?
So there was I haven't seen any of these. Just the YouTube documentary.
Right. Okay.
But I saw that. Well, I wanted to recommend these two because I feel like they are fictional retellings of this story, you know, this, you know, occurrence. Mm-hmm. But so it's like Woman in the Wall, it's a BBC miniseries, and then Philomena with Judi Dench.
Okay. So. Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. But I haven't seen either of them. I saw the YouTube documentary. I honestly, like, it's so low budget.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if I would recommend it. Like, it was good for me to hear the women.
Yeah.
But
for your research.
I feel like there are other documentaries you could see that are probably higher budget and go more into depth about it. But
Well, and I would trust that our Dame Judy did it justice. She is one of the best.
What about you?
My rec is also keeping in line with Irish things, UK things. I'm going to recommend Kitty O'Shea's Irish and UK Market for those of us in Los Angeles. It's in Atwater Village. And like by the time this comes out, I'll have some TikToks about it.
Ooh, okay, good.
It was just like I walked in, the smell of tea hit me. And I was like,
okay.
And I immediately was like, it smells so good in here. Just a wall of so many different kinds of tea. Of course, PG tips for you. I got a new tea.
I'm a Barry's girl now.
Oh, really?
I did go to, so we have a Irish grocery store here.
Cute.
And I was like, oh, what do you like? Like, what is your favorite? And it's Barry's, which we would say berries, but Barry's tea in the green box, I think.
Okay.
It's what I prefer now.
So it's an Irish breakfast, not an English breakfast. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like both. I think I just went with an English breakfast. I couldn't tell you. There has to be a difference.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll look that up.
And I got so many like yummy little chips and like things like
that,
like snacks.
Good crisps.
Yeah, they do. The Tato's brand.
I like shrimp when they have shrimp.
Yes,
chip
me too.
Crisps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And the owner told me, for the vegans out there, that any of the meat flavored potato chips are actually vegan, and the ones that aren't are not, because they'll use like a milk powder, like, you know, well, you know, cheese, cheddar and onion chips, obviously that will, but like anything that's meat related are actually vegan, she said.
Interesting.
So maybe do a little bit more research before you are, if you're vegan, and try it. But she told me that, and I was like, I'll trust you.
Remember when you tried those fried egg chips?
Oh, those were vegan, and those were one of the most foul, scary things.
They really were exactly like eggs.
It was so, and I'm weird about eggs.
Yeah, you are.
And that could have hurled me into not eating eggs for like a year.
Yeah.
Because that was such a weird experience.
Yeah.
I personally do not recommend. that was a Spanish brand, the Torres.
I would say, it was the Torres chips. I would say, why not? I mean, I liked them. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't eat a whole bag or anything. Mm-hmm. There are flavors of crisps I absolutely could eat an entire bag of.
Yes.
Like, what is your favorite chip, do you think, that you could like literally eat an entire bag? Flavor.
I love a barbecue. Oh, or like a sweet onion.
Oh, I love a sweet onion.
Yeah. What about you? Or salt and vinegar. I like them all, I guess. I just listed three that are my favorite.
Well, okay, so I couldn't eat an entire big bag, but I did like the jamon chips that we got. I know you didn't like those.
Nope, I didn't like that either.
The little one, I liked those. Yeah. I could eat an entire little bag of those.
Yeah. Paprika.
The paprika. Yeah, that was good. I don't think I could eat an entire bag of that.
I could eat a big bag.
Yeah. I don't know. I really do like the shrimp crisps that they do in the UK a lot.
I just had some over Christmas because my mom got my brother-in-law like a lot of like UK snacks and things.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. I was like, I kind of want this gift basket, like basket. Yeah. And we were all trying the fun chips. And that one to me, it was like a, you know, prawn.
And cocktail.
Yes. And it just tasted like vinegar. I could taste the shrimp. I was like, I get it. But yeah, I was like, oh, this tastes vinegary. Yeah. And like, I love that. So.
Wait, I did get ones from, what is it called? World Market. They aren't European, but it's garlic and grilled oyster. They were fucking good. They were so good.
I would try that.
It was almost like the perfect sauce you would want on noodles, but on a chip.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I would want that. I would do like creme fraiche and caviar and like a chip like
that. They're freaking good.
Yum.
So good.
Snacky.
Yeah.
Ooh, I have a bag of Guinness chili chips.
Oh.
Which like freaked out my brain because like I think of American chili, but no, it's like the pepper. So it's like a spicy stout chip. Oh, we'll see. I was like, the curiosity got me on that one. So yeah. We'll see.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. Can't wait to see the review.
Are you ready for our word of the day?
I am.
Okay. Why I chose this word. As everyone is aware by now, I have been watching Outlander and the obsession is strong. And obviously that's Scottish, not Irish, but they have been drinking so much of this and I never enjoyed it before, but I went home for Christmas and I was like, Dad, I need whiskey. I was like, I think I like whiskey. And it's just because I've been seeing them drink it all the time in Outlander. So of course I had to look up what whiskey is in Irish. So an Irish whiskey is Oiscabaha, which it actually means water of life, but it's what they call whiskey. Oiscabaha. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, that beautiful Irish spelling that it just like, my brain did not know what to do with that, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That also happened to me when I watched Outlander. I'm like, I like Scotch.
Yeah. Love
no,
it.
I don't. Yeah. No, I don't.
I like it when it's not so peaty. I don't want to feel like I'm drinking a fire pit. But
I don't like any of it.
I think I like more Irish whiskey than Scotch. The thing is, I can watch people inhale something enough, then I'll like it. Like that's with you and tuna salad. Like you would order tuna salad sandwiches and I always hated them. But then it looked good. And then like, I got over that fear. And now I think I got over my fear of like, not fear, but like dislike of whiskey. Just seeing these
exposure therapy helps a lot, doesn't it?
Of these beautiful Scotsmen in the 1700s drinking it all the time. Yeah.
That's so funny. Nice.
Well, thank you again for that topic today. I feel very informed. And I want to watch Philomena. I'm going to.
I know. I always, you know, see that it's like streaming places and I'm like, I'm not ready.
I know.
Ready. Yeah. Anyway, but thank you everyone for tuning in this week. Thank you so much. Ciao.